Welcome to Preaching and Preachers, a weekly podcast devoted to those who preach and to the task of preaching itself. I'm your host, Jason Allen, president of Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. Today I want to welcome Dr. Dale Johnson to the podcast. Dr. Johnson serves as the assistant professor of biblical counseling and associate dean for the research doctoral program at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas. Dr. Johnson, welcome to Preaching and Preachers.
Thank you, Dr. Allen. I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, glad to have you on the call today, or we might say in the studio, metaphorically speaking, and happy to have this conversation with you today. We'll be talking about the pastor and soul care, and talking some about spiritual formation, some about pastoral counseling and pastoral ministry in general. And pleased to talk with you today. As I said before coming on the call here, I think this is our first time to visit. We have a mutual friend in Heath Lambert and Jason Dusing and other mutual friends, but it's good to have you on the call today, and good to have you on Preaching and Preachers. Tell me before we get into the topic at hand, just update us on you, how you're doing, your ministry at Southwestern, how you guys are doing, and just orient yourself to our listeners.
I'll be happy to do that. Thank you so much for the invitation and the opportunity to be here with you. Look forward to talking about our subject at hand. Just a little bit about myself. I am here at Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary, teach in biblical counseling, assistant professor there, and also the associate dean of the research doctoral program in our School of Church and Family Ministries. So those are my primary tasks here at Southwestern Seminary. Married, have six children here. That's a primary duty as well. So those things keep me busy down in Fort Worth here.
And how many years did you say you've been teaching there?
Yeah, so I'm into my fourth year teaching full time. I began in August of 2014, and so getting into a lot of new preps and finishing that up as a professor, and now we're working into a lot of the normal everyday duties as a professor and teaching the subjects of biblical counseling here.
And you did your PhD at Southwestern, is that right?
I did. That's correct. Yeah. Yes, I did my Master of Divinity at Southeastern Seminary, and then later came out to Southwestern to do the PhD with a focus in biblical counseling.
Very good. Well, listen, let's move to our topic, the pastor in soul care. I guess just most broadly, how should a pastor think about soul care? And again, most of those listening to this podcast are ministering within the context of local church, pastors, staff ministers, seminary students. So you're talking today to people who are engaged in local church ministry or who envision themselves in short order being engaged in local church ministry. So just at the broad macro level, how should the pastor think about soul care?
Now, that's a wonderful question. I mean, soul care is quite a broad term and something certainly that the pastor should be aware of as a part of his duty in a primary sense. When I think about soul care, soul care is not minimized, as many people would think, just to the counseling room or just to an office or a formal setting. Part of his duty, pastor's duty, encompasses the reality of and totality of soul care. So I would see that everything that a pastor tries to accomplish in some way, shape, or form is for the ministry of soul care, caring for the souls of his people. And so whether he's, standing up corporately preaching the Word of God, in that sense, he's caring for the souls of his people. Whether he's sitting by the bedside of a parishioner, that's part of his duty, is he's caring for the souls of those people as he ministers the Word to them in his conversation with them. That's part of what he's doing, is he's taking the Word and ministering to them, and particularly to their souls, whether that be in the nature of preventative care or reparative care for issues that they may be struggling with. And so you can look at the goal and role of the church is shepherding in the same way that Christ shepherds his people. And so it's a large task that the pastor is responsible for, the preacher is responsible for. And so in a general sense, I would say that which the pastor and preacher is engaged in is the ministry of soul care in every aspect of what he's trying to accomplish with the sheep.
So lest we get ahead of ourselves or assume too much from our listeners, sure. Define soul care. What do we mean by that?
Yeah, it's a great question. So soul care, I would define in maybe several different ways. First of all, it'd be We see it in several different places in the scripture. I think about soul care as something that's reparative of the soul. If we understand basic biblical anthropology, there is a brokenness in the soul, and there's a primary sense in which the scriptures describe that the initiation of true soul care begins in redemption, and it's found particularly in Christ. So when we think about reparative or redemptive soul care, this is the repairing of the heart of the man, the repairing of the fullness of the image of God in man. That way, the man now becomes alive. That initiates the idea of soul care. And in particular, in the New Testament, we see it, especially in the epistles, when Paul is talking to those who are in the church and among the church, preventative care, where he's describing this idea of teaching and the responsibility of Timothy to teach in such a way as to be a guard and pillar of the truth, in a sense, so that he would teach people to learn to guard their hearts by the truth of the scripture, not to be swayed to and fro, so that their conscience would be affected. And so in that way, it's preventative care, in a sense, to guard their souls from that which would sway them, open them up to the devices and schemes of the evil one, as he would lure and entice them by their own desires, which would lead to faulty actions and so on. So when we talk about soul care, it encompasses, yes, the inner man, but the expressions of the inner man in outward actions and behaviors and words and emotions and that sort of thing.
And I understand and hear you to be saying that soul care, that nurturing of souls, it doesn't only take place in a counseling session. It takes place from the pulpit, it takes place in discipleship groups, it can take place in mentorship relationships, a whole host of different ways. But there are times when there's either an acute need, or perhaps a real acute problem where a pastor is dealing, you know, with an individual or a couple and having to spend protracted time in reoccurring sessions engaging the heart, the soul of the individual. So I guess, you know, as one who has spent more than a decade pastoring a local church, both as a pastor and interim pastor, and then more years than that, serving the church more directly in preaching ministries and local church type commitments. I guess I hear oftentimes pastors maybe de-emphasize soul care. I hear pastors, perhaps through in their own way, own self-deprecating way, kind of, I'm not equipped to do that, especially when soul care drifts into kind of more just traditional counseling type venues. And you hear pastors say things like, you know, I do my counseling on Sunday morning at 11 a.m. From 11 to 12, 11 a.m. to 12 noon, you know, suggesting that through the preaching ministries or counseling. And I sort of get that because I have a high view of scripture, high view of preaching. And as people are faithful in the local church, faithful in their attendance, humble hearts receiving the word of God, it is amazing how much soul care is accomplished in that moment. At the same time, and I also am sympathetic to that statement because, look, I have personally feel a certain degree of inadequacy and an inability to know everything that I could know about counseling and the human condition and what may be going on in the mind and heart of individuals. So I have felt that inadequacy as well. At the same time, I want to acknowledge that a part of shepherding the flock of God is being willing to deal with issues even when they run deep. Challenges, burdens, even when they run deep. So I guess to the pastors that are listening, what would you say to kind of maybe bring some balance to that old statement, that throwaway line, I do my counseling on Sunday morning from 11 a.m. to 12 noon?
Yeah, I that's a great question, and it is one that's very relevant, especially where we are in our churches today. And the role and duty of the pastor, he does feel time constraints and that sort of thing. And oftentimes I hear there's this pressure that they feel like there's a lack in skill set and that sort of thing. I think it's absolutely crucial for a couple of reasons, and I don't want to minimize at all the preaching of the word. I think that's absolutely foundational when we talk about ecclesiology and the role of the pastor in preaching and proclaiming the word, and it is a primary means by which I think the scripture makes very clear that souls are cared for in the ongoing ministry of the local church. But as part of application of that, as the congregation hears the word of God, oftentimes there's necessity to learn then in a very intimate setting about how to apply that. Now, it's very understandable that the pastor cannot do every hour of counseling that needs to happen, and that's certainly true. But I think that comes with his duty as he prepares others to grow and mature in the faith as well, who are able to handle and disciple and train others as well. But I think it is a primary duty of the pastor to counsel in this way, maybe even in a more formal setting. As a part of it, it's an opportunity for him to hear and to listen to his sheep and what's going on with his people so that he can hear the heartbeat and the struggles that people have. I think it refines his understanding of even the scripture as he hears the depth of the problems of his people, not just in terms of the effects of sin in his church and how it's affecting his people, but also the way his people are responding to the different aspects of suffering. As a primary point of application, I would say that we as under shepherds have to mimic the shepherding that Christ has demonstrated. It's foretold in the Old Testament that he would come as the good shepherd, and there are several ways in which he's going to minister to his people. One of those being to heal the sick and to bind the broken. And in the process of doing that, to bind the brokenhearted, in the process of doing that, he demonstrates that through the Gospels. And if we as pastors are following the head of the church, who is Christ, we have a duty and a responsibility to minister, to accurately represent Christ as the shepherd with his people. And so mimicking the same care on the same level, Jesus proclaimed corporately, that's certainly true, but he also ministered privately the word. And so I think hearing and listening to our people in that type of way, and then being willing to offer in a more intimate setting answers to their particular problems. Because, you know, in preaching often it's hard to be very specific and learn and to apply the word particularly to all the specific needs that might be out there in the congregation. So now the pastor has the ability to hear those specific needs and then demonstrate how the great doctrinal truths that we hear from the scripture are really applicable to where each person is, regardless of the level of their spiritual walk, whether they find themselves as being immature and weak in the faith or whether they're very mature in the faith. And now the pastor has the opportunity to lead and to teach and to shepherd at that level, which is mimicking the care of Christ for people as he uses the word, the balm of the scriptures, to heal the wounds of the souls of his people. And I think it also enhances his preaching as he hears the particulars of the brokenness of his people. I think it enhances the way he's able to communicate the power and the authority and the application of God's word on his Sunday morning from 11 to noon.
Dr. Johnson, let's hold up just for a moment here for a word of update from Midwestern Seminary.
Midwestern Seminary's 81-hour Master of Divinity degree prepares you for ministry today and tomorrow. Midwestern Seminary's flagship degree program is our primary track for ministry preparation. Requiring only 81 credit hours, the MDiv program is an efficient option for students, equipping them to serve the church in pastoral ministry. Residential students will be trained in a unique community environment passionately focused on the local church. Online students can earn the full degree without leaving their current ministry context. Come be a part of one of the fastest growing seminaries in North America as we develop a new culture of discipleship devoted to the local church and committed to taking God's unchanging word into a rapidly changing world. Visit mbts.edu/mdiv today.
Okay, I'm back with Dr. Johnson talking about soul care. So let's say, again, I'm a pastor listening to this podcast today, listening to you talk, I'm resonating with the exhortation you're giving. At the same time, I mean, I got to prepare 1, 2, 3 sermons a week. I have administrative challenges. I have correspondence to maintain. I have a never-ending to-do list. In the midst of such busyness, why should the pastor, in particular, prioritize soul care at the very top of his to-do list?
That's a very great question, and it's one that, as somebody who served in the ministry myself as an associate pastor, I felt those same pressures. Even as a professor, I feel some of those same demands and pressures. I think as we look at Scripture, we have to recognize, I think this is a primary issue for us as preachers and pastors, first of all, because Scripture makes clear that we'll be held accountable for it. Hebrews 13:17, as he describes that the congregation should obey their leaders because they have watch over their souls. He describes that the leaders will be held accountable for how we watch over their souls. And so I think if I'm going to be held accountable for something, I want to make sure that I'm taking proper care and giving proper attention and affection toward those things at which God makes very clear is pleasing to him and that I'll be held accountable for. You know, I think also as we look at you know, for example, Paul in 1 Corinthians, that's exactly what he's doing. He's hearing from Chloe's house the explanations of all the issues and problems that are going on in Corinth, and he's taking adequate time seeing this as being the purpose behind his ministry. All these other exterior things are not primarily the main focus of the ministry. The people are the primary concern of ministry. So Paul takes intimate, adequate time to be able to express and answer individually some of those particular human problems that are arising. And he's given credence to the doctrines of Scripture and the gospel of Christ as an explanation to repair all of those behavioral problems, emotional problems, the issues of factions and disunity and all the emotions that flow, humanly speaking, from those problems. And so I think it's mimicked in the Word, it's demonstrated in the Word, and it's something that I think the pastor, you know, should prioritize and see it not as something that's totally a separate duty, as if preaching is on one hand and counseling is on another, but his studying the Word is preparing him to be able to minister the Word in both settings, both corporate and private.
Man, this is so very helpful, Dr. Johnson, and I'm tracking with you and appreciating what you're saying. Let me just ask a couple more questions here before our time runs out. Again, speaking to pastors especially, those serving in the local church ministerial context, what are some of the typical mistakes pastors often make when it comes to soul care? Any particular landmines you'd encourage them to stay away from? Anything that tends to show up and that is unhelpful in the local church setting?
Oh, man, with our frailty, Dr. Allen, this is a wide, this could be a large answer when we think about potential landmines. They are many, for sure. The first thing I would say is maybe even failure to engage, that our fear of failure would keep us from engagement. And I think we should be a willing vessel who doesn't fear failure, which would paralyze us relative to our engagement. I think the first failure is the lack of engagement with our people and allow the Lord to demonstrate our own weakness by lack of skills or lack of ability, that he would expose that so that we would learn to grow to meet that particular job description that the Lord has given us to engage. I think another, which is a great example in the Scripture of the counselors of Job, Job's counselors seem to assume a lot about Job's situation. They assumed a lot of connections about his situation. And I think them not listening, hearing, paying attention, assuming that they understood, which is a prideful disposition, and then speaking before they really understood the situation, I think that's a huge landmine for pastors. Because in our business, we want to try to answer quickly and respond quickly to move on to the next thing. I think we have a tendency to not listen well, not to hear what our people are saying, try to listen to the context, and we assume this passage applies to this, and so we want to give the person a particular passage and move on. I think that's a huge landmine at which we often fall prey to. I think another thing that is really crucial, and I think there's historical founding for this, is we have the tendency in the pastor often to divorce doctrine and practice. You know, part of the pressure that a pastor feels is needing the skill set of what we would describe as being a secular counselor. That's not the skill set that we're describing when we talk about biblical soul care. When we talk about biblical soul care, there's a basic anthropological principle that doctrine follows practice. What we believe comes out in what we do and say and think. And so for the pastor to make sure that he's clearly listening and seeing, not just paying attention to those things which are observable with the eye, that's the mistake of the secular world, is the secular world focuses on those human functions and actions and problems which are observable to the natural eye, But there's more to man than meets the eye relative to that. And so for a pastor to make sure that he's not giving superficial advice just based on what is observable, the scriptures make very clear that, that the actions and attitudes and emotions of a man come from the dispositions of his heart. And so for a pastor to be able to slow down and make connection in similar ways as Jesus did, to know that when a man was acting in this particular way or that particular way, that there was an underlying heart issue. So for the pastor to slow down and to be able to give true, legitimate, pointed truth from the scriptures that is doctrinally based, founded in the particulars of the gospel and the freedom that God has given us in the soul, and the hope that he's provided, which begins to overcome those dispositions that often lead to the disorders of man, the instability of man. And so that's a really critical one, because we as people are so deceived often by what we can just see in the natural realm. So we have a tendency to want to run to some sort of superficial remedy just to make that particular feeling or that behavior go away. And we have to slow down and think through the way God describes people in order to correct what's really going on at the root of the problem in their heart, rather than just focusing on behavior modification in the exterior part of man.
Listen, our time is nearly up, but just one final question for us. How can a pastor, practically speaking, improve his soul care? You've talked about some of the pitfalls. We talked about this at the kind of the theological level. I mean, just parting words here for ministers, how they can strengthen their soul care.
Well, yeah, I think one of the biggest things that I see right now is for a pastor just to learn to pay attention and listen to his people. I think that's critical on just an everyday level. I also think it's important for a pastor to pay attention to those who are cognizant and wise in how they speak about caring for souls. One of the critical things, and I'll say this as kind of a parting answer, is I think we need to bolster once again from the scriptures our view of anthropology. I think that that's one of the critical things that has slipped away from us, so to speak, is if a pastor can really begin from the scriptures to learn how a man is affected by sin, what comes from a man in its manifestations as he is affected in a man by sin, understanding that biblical anthropology will really begin to help him to listen well and then begin to understand the scripture in its application of repairing those particular things. Also, I would say he needs to focus on the problems of man are not just simply from personal sin, but also from the effects of sin corporately, our human suffering, and just sometimes to learn to just care and comfort and to keep their mindset on the full redemption that's to come. I really think our biblical soul care has to return in the church to longing and looking forward to that eschatological redemption, because that's when all the brokenness and full redemption will be realized. And that's what keeps us waiting and longing and patiently anticipating the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Well said. Dr. Johnson, thank you for joining me on Preaching and Preachers. It's been a delight to have this conversation.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you, brother.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to Preaching and Preachers. For more information, please visit my website, jasonkallen.com.